Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching of Pastor Randy Castillo from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please enjoy our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready. Find your Bible. Open your heart. Here is Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord, we thank you that you reign. You reign in our hearts. You reign in our lives. And Father, you reign in heaven. And one day, Lord, you are going to reign on this earth. And what a wonderful time that will be. Until then, Lord, we just want to wait upon you. We know, Lord, you could come at any moment. And so, Lord, we're anticipating that. And we pray that we would be found with the right heart when you do come. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
All right, you may be seated. Good evening. It's great to have you all here. Hey, I got a couple of announcements before we dig into some worship. First of all, Friday night is youth night. Woohoo! If you got some youths, you're going to want to bring them out Friday night. They're going to have a blast from 6 to 8:30. So, hey, and you know what? Just a thought. Great time to drop off the kids, the teenagers, and then go shopping or go on a date or something. There you go. So, anyways, that's just Friday. Also, I'm super excited. Wednesday night, this next Wednesday, we are going to have a guest speaker for you men who are at last year's men's retreat. Pastor Robert Bijouet is going to be here. Now, let me tell you about Pastor Robert. He and I go way back. When I first got saved, he was there. We hung out. We did multimedia together. We did street witnessing together. We went around before we either one of us were pastors. In fact, we kind of had a nickname, Bonerges, Sons of Thunder. Listen, understand, thunder's not dangerous. Lightning's dangerous. Thunder is just noisy, okay? So we're a couple of noisy guys. But great Bible teacher. He's going to be here next week bringing the word, so I'm super excited. I pray that we have a turnout like this. That would be great for Wednesday night. So, yeah. We want to show Pastor Robert some HBC love. Well, speaking of showing some love, let's talk about worship. Obviously, tonight is our now, we call it now, night of worship. And here's the thing, tonight we're going to springboard off of Acts 16, verse 25 through 30. So Acts 16, we're going to look at that. Now, here's the thing, I want you to repeat after me, because I want you to understand that tonight, it's all about the Savior. So repeat after me. Tonight is all, I just want you to say, it's all about the Savior. Ready? Go.
It's all about the Savior.
Oh, very good. Let's try that one more time. What is it about?
It's all about the Savior.
Woo! I love it. Okay. Tonight is all about the Savior. Now listen, obedience is a form of worship. Service is a form of worship. Giving is a form of worship. Prayer is a form of worship. And yes, of course, tonight, praise is a form of worship. A.W. Tozer said this, we must not rest until everything inside us worships God. And that, I believe, is true. Let me pray real quick before we dive deep into a short Bible study on worship. Father, help us to realize what worship truly is all about. It's not about us. It's not about the church. It's not about the instruments or the songs. It's about you, Lord Jesus. And so help us to understand that and see that more clearly. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Now, God directs his people, that's us, not to simply worship, but we are to sing praises before the nations, before others, before unbelievers. We are called not simply to communicate the gospel to unbelievers, but we are also to intentionally celebrate the gospel before them. See, that's what worship is. Worship is celebration of the fact that Jesus Christ has given us eternal life. You see, if you are saved, the natural outpouring of your heart should be, I just want to sing your praises. You know, think about it. You know, I've said this before. You go to a sporting event. You know, you go see, you know, the Steelers or the Rams or the Raiders or whoever it is you like to see play. And what do? You're cheering them on and you do all these songs. You do the wave. You do all that. You're doing that in celebration that you're glad to be there for the game. How much more should we be worshiping the living God who has saved us from eternal hell? Now, let's look at Acts chapter 16. Verse 25 through 30. Now, you're probably very familiar with this verse. I've shared it before. But I want to look at some details that maybe sometimes we pass over. Acts 16, verse 25 through 30. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now, once again, remember this. Paul, Silas, been mistreated. They've done nothing more than share the gospel and get people saved. They got thrown in jail. They've been beaten before. They've been mistreated. Just terrible. So they're in stocks. They're in chains. They're in prison. And at midnight, not, you know, moments after they're thrown in there, they're in there already for hours. And they are at midnight. They're like, look, I can't sleep with my hands shackled above my head. I can't sleep. Might as well sing praises to God. Now, some of us right now may be in pain. Maybe you're in difficulty. Maybe you're in turmoil. Maybe you're worried about the turnout of this or that or the other thing, waiting to hear. Listen, we should be able to still sing praises to God and trust in him. And that's where Paul is. So, but at midnight, and I like it, starts off, but. Would you believe this? Can you believe this? But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So the other guys said, listen to these nuts. These guys are crazy. They're in prison just like us, but they're happy. They're singing songs. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosened. Everyone, not just Paul and Silas. And by the way, understand that. When you and I come tonight to worship God, do you realize that we can cause other people's chains to fall off? When they see the joy that we have in God, it affects other people. Now, everyone's chains were loosened. And the keeper of the prison awakened from his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing that the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Now that was the penalty. If you were a soldier and you lost your prisoners, you had to kill yourself. If you didn't kill yourself, they'd kill you and your family. If you tried to run, that's all right. All your relatives dead. Way to go. So he's like, you know what? There's no way they stayed. They're in prison. The doors are open. But Paul called with a loud voice saying, do not harm yourself, for we're all here. We're partying. we got a worship service. Listen, you don't leave a worship service when the Holy Spirit shows up. He says, do not harm yourself. We're all here. Then he called for a light. A Bud Light. No. No, he didn't. Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. So the guard comes running in. And what does he do? He's the guard. They're the prisoners. He falls down before them. And he brought them out and said, watch this. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? This guard, first of all, that the doors are open. They were worshiping in the night. The other prisoners were listening. The doors are open. All the chains are off and nobody left. And he's like, there's something here. See, Paul and Silas, they were intentional in their worship. And An unbelieving guard got saved because of their worship. Listen, sometimes we think, oh, it's just we're just singing songs. Wrong. We're giving glory to God. The Holy Spirit shows up. People get saved because of worship. But here's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is too often, I'm going to admit this, we all lose sight of what true worship is. Too often, Christians have too many objections during worship, right? People find reasons to object. Like, for instance, I don't like that song. I don't like those kinds of songs. I don't like his voice or her voice. I don't like it. It's too loud. It's not loud enough. You know, I didn't get anything out of it. Well, listen, those are all excuses. I promise you, I have heard those excuses before. Now, can I address them one at a time? No, you can't. Too late. Allow me to address these. Someone says, I don't like the song. Do you love the Savior? You see, I don't like the song. It's not about the song. If a song is about the Savior, then you should love it if you love the Savior. It doesn't matter if it's the BLBLE. That's the book for me. It doesn't matter. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That is all about Jesus. So it doesn't matter. It's not the song, it's the Savior. Because tonight is all about Jesus. Savior, Jesus, yes, whatever you want to say, you got it. Worship should be an activity that teaches us humility. It's not an opportunity for self-indulgence. Notice here, we don't know what song Paul and Silas sang. Notice it doesn't tell us. It just says they sang to the Lord. It doesn't matter what they sang. It matters who they're singing to. You know, I think that if had they told us, had the Holy Spirit told us what song, every prison, people would be singing that song. These doors got to open sometime. Let's get out of here, man. The Holy Spirit didn't tell us because that's not the key. The key to breaking every chain is Jesus Christ. If someone comes to a worship service and they say, I don't like his voice. I don't like her voice. Well, you don't know their heart because it's not about their voice. God doesn't care about the song. He cares about the heart. See, we're also not told about Paul and Silas. We're not told that they sang skillfully or beautifully. In fact, we know that had they sung skillfully or beautifully, the Holy Spirit probably would have told us. Because in the past, in Chronicles, they gathered all the musicians together, those who played skillfully, so we're told there. When someone was beautiful, the Holy Spirit would tell us, oh, she was beautiful. Or someone was handsome, oh, he was handsome. It tells us. Here it just says they were singing. That's all you need to know. It doesn't tell us that they sang skillfully or beautifully, but they sang. It says they were praying and singing hymns to God. That's awesome. They sang with joy. They sang to the Lord. See, it's not about the sound. It's about the song and who you're singing to. The words that they're to our God. See, tonight, as we go to worship, it's all about the Savior. It's all about loving him. Now, someone will say, hey, it's too loud. Along with that, oh, the band's way too big, too many instruments. Psalm 150. In Psalm 150, starting in verse 1, listen to this. Praise the Lord. Praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him for the sound with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the sound of the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with string instruments and flutes. Praise him with the loud cymbals, with the crashing cymbals. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. I think God likes it loud. I'm surprised it doesn't say praise him with the pots and the pans. The spoons and the knives. Remember, we've been looking at Revelation, right? In Revelation, we read that there was noise in heaven. It was a loud noise. The Lord's voice, the Lord Jesus, sounds like a loud trumpet. There was loud angelic host of beings. You know, over in Ezekiel, it says their wings sound like rushing waters. God's voice sounds like a loud trumpet and rushing waters. You got the angels up there saying, holy, holy, holy. We don't know what size they are. We don't know how loud they are, but they're loud. We have a multitude. At one point it says 1,000 times 10,000 and 1,000 thousands with a loud voice saying. Then from God's throne you have thunders and lightning and all this. So listen, all that's going on at the same time. Heaven is loud. Listen, while we all have personal preferences, the type of music we enjoy, some of you like country, some of you like classic rock, some of you like classical, some of you like rap, industrial metal. Listen, so then not only do we have different types of music we enjoy, there's all sorts of environments that we like that lead us to feel like, well, this was the most worshipful setting for me. But really, our worship, it should be grounded in a common understanding of who God is, not what we like or dislike. When I'm worshiping, it shouldn't be, oh, I like this song, don't like that. Oh, I like the lights on, I like the lights off. Oh, I like organ or I like drums. It should be, God, do you approve of what I'm offering to you from my heart? What I'm offering from my heart, is it real? Am I really recognizing who you are? Because tonight, it's all about the Savior. Tonight is all about?
Savior.
Yeah. Or someone says, oh, you know what, Pastor Randy, I really like to worship, but it's not loud enough. That's on you. Why? Well, you get louder, and I'll turn it up. Listen, I love it. I love it. There have been a handful of times that I walk in and a worship may already be starting. And I walk in and the congregation is louder than the worship team. Yeah, baby. That's what I'm talking about. That's some worship. See, when I'm singing out and when you're singing out, you know what? Your voice in your head is the loudest thing you can hear. So if you're singing out, not only that, if you're singing out, it might encourage the people on either side to sing even louder because they don't want to hear you. It's like, ay, 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 mijo. Or how about this? When you're singing out and it's really coming from your heart, someone who's feeling down and out is like, you know what, you're right. We should just be worshiping the Lord. Leave all that garbage outside the doors. Paul and Silas. They didn't have a PA system. They're in prison. It's not like it's designed for acoustics. But they just offered what they had. Because it was real, because it was praise loud enough, it was loud enough. It wasn't too loud, wasn't too low. It was whatever was needed for the moment. God was hearing them from heaven. See, God did a miracle on their behalf because what they offered was real. It was true spiritual worship. And because it was true spiritual worship, the guard got saved. A life got saved. Not only was he physically saved because he was about to fall upon his sword, but he became spiritually saved. Brothers and sisters, you don't understand. We were created to worship God. Not to make music, not to sing songs, but to worship the true and living God. And what they were singing, they're in prison. They've been mistreated. They've been wrongfully imprisoned. And they're not singing, we got to get out of this place. They're not singing, help, I need someone, help, just anyone, help. They're not singing Beatle tunes. They're singing praise unto God. They're singing something meaningful. They're singing unto the Savior of their soul, because even if they were to stay in prison, their destiny is heaven. Brothers and sisters, you realize Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Are we ready?
Yes.
Good. We're not. We're going to sing first, though. Wouldn't it be awesome if while we were singing, Jesus came and took us? That's my prayer, Lord. But if he leaves us here for a little while longer, so that maybe someone will get saved by when they see our true, genuine love for Jesus. See, that's the purpose. That's the purpose. How about this? You know, I didn't get anything out of Night of Worship. Let me paint a picture. You go to Magic Mountain, okay? You don't get on any rides. You don't go to any shows. You don't eat any funnel cake. And then you go home and you say, you know, I didn't get anything out of Magic Mountain. That's on you. You get what you put in. And besides that, worship is worth-ship. Giving him worth. You're not supposed to get out. You're supposed to give to him. When you and I come to worship going, oh, God, give to me. He's like, see, you don't understand what worship is. And here's the cool part. God says he'll be a debtor to no man. What does that mean? That means this. As I give him worship, he gives me peace. Peace that surpasses understanding. When we get to heaven, you know what's going to blow our minds? It's going to blow our minds that we're going to be able to worship for thousands and eons and eons and eons, and we will never exhaust the different worshipful attitudes of God, attributes of God. We'll never exhaust his attributes. That's why the angels go, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. And then they look at him and go, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. And then they look at him, holy, holy. You don't, and they just, it's a crescendo. It just keeps going. It keeps going. One person said this. When we talk or sing about God, he is the only one we can never be accused of exaggerating. You can't exaggerate God. Try it. I dare you. Because if we all came up with the most extravagant exaggeration we could think of, God is eons above that. Now, look at time. Thank you. I put a little note there. Look at the time, Randy. Okay. I want to share one more thought with you. Paul tells us that we are, Paul tells us that we are transformed by what we fix our attention on. In fact, 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 18. But we are all with unveiled faces, behold as in a mirror, the glory of our Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Do you understand? When we look upon Jesus and we gaze upon him, it causes us to then become like him. In a sense, worship is a tool that God uses to transform us. We glorify him for his amazing attributes. We begin to reveal the same characteristics. When we worship God, we develop the traits of forgiveness. Lord, you thank you for forgiving me. It reminds me I'm to be forgiving too. Lord, you're so tender. I'm to be tender too. Your justice, your righteousness, your purity, your kindness, your love. As I'm singing that about him, I recognize those are good attributes, that those are wonderful attributes. It causes me to desire those in my own life. See, worship isn't music. It's not the warm-up act. Worship is not a concert. Worship is what God uses to transform us into the image of Christ. One commentator said this, from your heroes, you pick up the mannerisms, the phrase, the tones of voice, the facial expressions, the habits, the demeanor, the convictions and beliefs. The more admirable the hero, the more intense your admiration is, the more profound you'll be transformed. In the case of Lord Jesus, he is infinitely admirable. And our admiration raises to the most absolute worship. Therefore, when we behold him as we should, the change in us will be profound. Oh, that is so good and so true. So, tonight, the worship team, I'm going to ask them to come up. And they're going to do a host of hand-picked songs for you to offer up. And listen, maybe you go, you know, I don't know this song. Okay, focus on the words. Focus on the words and ask yourself, are these true statements of Jesus? If they are they not praiseworthy attributes? They are. Now, as the worship team is leading in worship, here's what we have. We have two deacons back there on that side. Raise your hand, guys. We have two deacons in front of the sound booth. Raise your hand, guys. And we have two deacons over here by the nursing mother's room. If you need prayer, maybe you're struggling with something. You don't have to tell them what it is. But you can say, listen, I need prayer. They are going to anoint you with oil. They're going to lay hands upon you, and they're going to pray for you. James says, if anyone is sick or maybe you're burdened with something, let the elders anoint you for peace, and then go back and enter in and continue to worship God. And let it come from your heart and go before the Lord, because that's a good thing. And tonight, it's all about the Savior. Who is it about?
Savior.
It's all about the
Savior.
Amen. So let's give him some praise. Father God, we thank you. We come into your presence and we ask you, Lord, now to receive our worship. And our worship, not about the person in front of us, behind us, not about the worship team standing before us, not even about the songs. It's about you, Lord. And may we sing out to you because you are worthy of glory and honor and praise and power and majesty, and you're definitely worth our time and our thoughts and our adoration and admiration. Lord, we love you, praise you, honor you, in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
amen.
Let's stand and sing.